It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources needs your help measuring the population of frogs and toads across the state. It's part of the annual Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey, which kicks off soon. We hear about the history of the survey, how you can get involved, and what we can all do to help these amphibians live their best lives in this week's edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Have you previously taken part in the Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey? If so, what was the experience like, and are you planning on doing it again this year? Do you come across various types of frogs or toads in your own property? What sightings have you had? And what questions do you have about frogs and toads in the state? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. ideas@wpr.org. Or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Andrew Baji is a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He coordinates the DNR's Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. Andrew, good morning. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
So the Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey has been going on now for over 30 years. For those who are not familiar with the survey, what's it all about?
So the Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey began back in kind of the early 1980s because of the back in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, a lot of biologists and people began noticing certain species just started being less and less common throughout the state. And one of the ways that biologists and the DNR came together, as well as the universities, for example, University of Stevens Point, in Wisconsin, they came together and created this 10-site driving survey. And we basically put a bunch of sites and routes throughout the entire state. And from there, we can catalog all the 12 species of frogs and toads in the state by documenting, A, their occurrence, as well as their relative abundance through volunteers. And so that's been a really great and handy tool for us to use to document, again, those trends and distribution throughout the state and kind of see how they're actually doing over the past 30 years.
And what have we learned since the survey's creation in 1984?
Well, we have learned a lot about the actual distribution of all 12 species in the state. And so we've kind of figured out that mink frogs are found in the northern third of the state. Bullfrogs are pretty sporadic throughout the state. However, they're fairly uncommon, but over that 30-35 year existence, we've noticed kind of an increase in trends of bullfrogs. And I guess we've learned really a lot of stuff, and on top of it too, we've done a great job kind of doing more outreach and getting more people educated and involved with frog conservation in the state.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. The outreach, you use volunteers. Talk about how that works and how successful that's been.
Yes. So, again, the DNR back in the day, really, we only have a handful of employees that kind of focus on frog conservation efforts. And so we thought that the best way to monitor for frogs is to go out and listen for their breeding calls. And we thought that getting the citizens of Wisconsin more involved in that, A, they can really cover a lot more ground than we ever could as DNR employees. And so we kind of collaborated with again, the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point, and with a bunch of volunteers, and we've really been doing an exceptional job getting people involved and really interested in the program. So,
Andrew Baji is a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He coordinates the DNR's Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. If you have questions about Wisconsin frogs and toads, if you've been a part of the survey before, talk about what your experience is like, please join us at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Andrew, tell us exactly how does the survey work, and are there different reporting periods depending on what kind of species you're looking for? How does this all work?
Yeah, so we have three different types of surveys currently going on. The first one I touched briefly on, but it's basically a 10 site route, and you basically drive to each route during the nighttime. Or sorry, during each site during the night, and you basically listen for each of the frogs and their abundances. And we have three different survey periods where you target three separate nights. And so the first period is early spring, where you're documenting more of the ephemeral wetland species like wood frogs, spring peepers, chorus frogs, and leopard frogs. And then we have two more periods, one kind of in the middle, which targets more of the tree frogs. And then the third period is out in the first half of July, and that actually targets more of our bullfrogs and our late season calling species like pink frogs and green frogs. And so, again, volunteers go to basically all those 10 sites three times during the year and kind of document all the different populations. Another project that we just started up last year that my colleague Rory Pulaski is heading up is our mink frog survey, and that was actually started again last year because we wanted to get a better idea of the actual distribution of that species, because this species calls really sporadically throughout the night as well as throughout the day, and so the traditional survey doesn't pick that up as well. In addition, the traditional survey doesn't always key in on that bog and lake habitat that mink frogs typically use. And so we have four different survey periods. However, we have volunteers go out to those 10 sites again, four different times, two times during the day and then also two times at night. And then while I'm on the subject, we also have another project too that kind of keeps track of our frog calling phonology from year to year. So volunteers will either choose a wetland in their backyard or kind of in their neighborhood, somewhere where they can easily access it as many times as possible throughout the year. And they basically just go to that site for five minutes up to one night a week or seven nights a week, and just document the seasonality of each of the species calling. And from there, the DNR can do basically can look at that phonology and kind of see how frogs are adapting or if they're not adapting to really early springs or really late springs, in addition to the normal springs we think of historically.
And how can our listeners get involved if they'd like to?
Well, the best way I would say, just to see if there's any open driving routes near you or those mink frog routes, would be to do a search online and search for Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. And from there, you can look at statewide maps and see which routes are nearby you that might be of interest. And on there, too, you can kind of look further at protocol and see if that's something that you have the time to do. And then also, you can email me at WFTS, so that stands for Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey, at wisconsin.gov, so WI.gov, and I can kind of help get you situated on something if you're interested.
Do you need any kind of experience or scientific background?
Well, you don't necessarily need to. I think the biggest thing is that you just have the ability to identify sounds well as that you have the passion to go in and learn the 12 different frog calls online and potentially through CDs or MP3 files. So to me, I'm not a really good birder, just because birds have a lot of calls. And so it's really quite easy for me to memorize 12 frog calls versus hundreds of bird calls. So I think it's a quite easy activity and fun to do.
Well, it sounds like it. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would be very interested in getting involved in this. We're going to continue our conversation with conservation biologist Andrew Badgey in just a moment as our Wisconsin weekend continues. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's this week's edition of Wisconsin Weekend this morning on the morning show, and we're talking about frogs and toads today and how you can get involved in helping to count them. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources needs your help in measuring for the population of frogs and toads across the state. It's part of the annual Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey, which kicks off very soon. We're learning about the history of the survey, how you can get involved, and what we can all do to help these amphibians live their best lives. Have you previously taken part in the Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey? If so, tell us what that experience was like. We'd like to hear your story. Planning on doing it again this year? Maybe you come across various types of frogs or toads on your own property. What sightings have you had? And what questions do you have about frogs and toads in the state? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Andrew Badgie is a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He coordinates the DNR's Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. Andrew, some of us tend to lump frogs and toads together. What are the big differences between the two?
I would say toads tend to have more of that warty kind of appearance in back, and they have what are called parotoid glands, which kind of, when squeezed, can secrete a poisonous taste to it. And so technically, a lot of people's dogs might chew on a toad for a little bit, and after that first time, they'll realize that toads aren't really edible. And toads tend to hop, whereas frogs are bigger leapers. And so those are probably the two big easiest ways to identify a frog versus a toad, in my opinion.
Let's take a call. Lisa is with us from Racine. Lisa, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Oh, good morning. This survey sounds really exciting, and I'm glad you're having this program. And you just mentioned part of what I had a question about. I was wondering if there's any species of frogs or toads in Wisconsin which are poisonous. Like in Florida, they're having that epidemic of the frogs, and or they're coming in. I'm just wondering, like, if a dog does chew on the toad, would it make it sick, or would any other secretions harm a human through, you know, their contact with their skin?
Okay, Lisa, thanks for your question, Andrew.
Yeah, I've been told, I've never actually tried this, but I've been told if you're going to handle a toad, which is really our only species that I would be concerned about, like touching your eyes and touching your mouth with your hands after you touch a toad, I would avoid doing that just because there would be some sort of irritation. I don't necessarily think there'd be any level of hospitalization with that. However, they're mildly kind of toxic, and again, most dogs typically just kind of get a bad taste in their mouth and just avoid toads afterwards. So, that would be our only toxic species, but it's not that toxic compared to other species in the tropics.
Lisa, thanks so much for your call. Andrew, how many different species of frogs and toads call Wisconsin their home?
Well, we have 11 different species of frogs, and I won't label all of them off just for time, but and then we also have one species of toad, and actually we just documented out in the area of La Crosse County, we documented a second toad, which is called the Fowler's toad, and that one looks a lot like our American toad, but has a different breeding call. And I say we documented it, we're pretty certain that it's a non-native species. However, right now we technically only claim to have one native toad.
As the temperatures get warmer and we start to ease into spring, which frogs emerge first?
Typically, the first two that emerge or start calling throughout the year are chorus frogs, boreal chorus frog, and then the spring peeper. And those are typically really the species in Wisconsin that are associated with spring. And then shortly thereafter, there's a species called the wood frog, and all three of these species are all considered ephemeral or seasonal wetland species, and so they'll lay their eggs really early in the year in these ephemeral ponds that fill up from all the snow melts or spring rains, and then they quickly metamorph, at least the eggs and larvae do, into little adults by the time those wetlands dry up. So those are typically the really early species that you'll hear calling right away, and we'll probably be hearing more and more frogs starting to call in the next 1 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, the peeper frogs. That's to me, that's the real first sign of actual spring, when you hear the peepers. And it's so nice if you live where there are some. Keep the windows open at night maybe a little bit and you can hear those. It puts me right to sleep. Let people know again how to get in touch with the show, 800-642-1234. We're talking about the annual Toad and Frog Survey. Wisconsin DNR needs your help. If you'd like to volunteer, that would be a really cool thing to do. Andrew Bodgy is with us. He is a conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and coordinates the DNR's Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. Tom is with us in Burlington. Tom, good morning.
I have a place I go, and it's in the country, and there's water, and I see that there's a frog there that makes a noise, and I think he gives himself away. There's herons there too that are walking around, and they stand around like statues, and I wonder is he giving himself away, and are they going to get him, or who gets you know, is it dangerous for this guy to be out there making that noise?
So do these frogs give themselves away by calling out?
You know, that's definitely one of the hazards of breeding season. You make yourself, or these male frogs make themselves more noticeable and attractive to females that are coming to these wetlands. However, at the same time, yes, they are making themselves more noticeable for herons and raccoons and other animals higher up in the food chain that do eat them. So some of the ways that they do kind of conceal themselves, though, are when they do notice wildlife are closer, they tend to call less, and some of them really just stop calling or hide pretty well in the vegetation or the lily pads and kind of conceal themselves under the water quite a bit too. So they have a bunch of different strategies, as well as they're really good leapers if they're calling from land or nearby too. So they have some strategies, but yes, there are definitely a lot of frogs out there, and as a result, they kind of make up the base of the food chain for a lot of these other animals.
What can we be doing all year long to help protect frogs and toads in places like our parks or in our own backyards?
Some of the bigger ones, typically, because frogs and toads are all associated with wetlands for breeding, and some of them are year-round. In those wetlands and lakes and rivers too. The biggest things that I would say is just kind of minimize the impacts that you have with wetlands and kind of lake disturbance along the edges. Usually it's good to leave kind of a little bit of a buffer strip on the edges of these waterways. That way the frogs can have somewhere to hide. And in addition to if you're going to be using pesticides or insecticides and stuff like that kind of near the water's edge, just make sure that you're kind of concentrating it on whatever you need to spray versus just widespread application. That way it's not getting into the waterway in mass quantities, in addition to using types of spray that break down easily in water. So you can see all that stuff on the labels too, but those are really the best ways to conserve them. And then I also know in the summertime, a lot of people report to me just frogs kind of in their lawn. And so when you are mowing your lawn, just be careful that there might be a lot of frogs jumping. And I know sometimes there's so many that it's really hard to avoid and get your lawn mowed at the same time. But just be cognizant that there could be frogs nearby on your lawn while you're mowing.
Let's take another call here. Doug is with us in Trevor. Doug, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I listened to your show. Hey, I started hearing them. I'm down in Kenosha County on Tuesday. I first started hearing the peepers. And, you know, in the spring, you know, we get the warm weather, they get going, and then get the cold, they shut down. I went out to get my paper this morning, 37 degrees, 5:30 in the morning. They're out there peeping. Yeah. And I just caught the thing about the cutting the lawn. We have those ephemeral ponds in the property and around, and yeah, there's some years I slow down with my lawnmower, but you know, you can only walk so slow, and I'm not kidding you, 50, 80, maybe 100 in a quarter acre lot, and then little spring, I think they're spring peepers, they're about an inch long, two stripes down their back, maybe they're chorus frogs, I don't know, but depending on the year, it's just nuts. But you got to cut your grass, so you go slow as fast as you can. They're like mosquitoes, just like jumping out of the way, trying to get out of the way from the lawnmower. But yeah, anyway, I just my observation, they're peeping away down here in Kenosha County. It's great.
Thanks a lot, Doug. First sign of spring in Wisconsin, the peepers show up. Andrew, what about Doug's observation that that's a good sign the peepers are back?
Yeah, definitely. That is actually the first report I've heard in the state of spring peepers. We've had a handful of chorus frog calls throughout kind of that southeast corner of the state, the south central part. And then as far north as Polk County, I've heard chorus frogs calling. So yeah, it's really cool. And one thing that I do want to touch on that he mentioned is some of these frogs really come out early in spring when it warms up, and then we get hit with some winter storms. And actually, these frogs have pretty high levels, even in early spring, of glucose. And that glucose acts as an antifreeze. And so they can kind of survive those winter bouts.
Okay. Well, Andrew, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Had a blast.
Andrew Badgy is conservation biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He coordinates the DNR's Wisconsin Frog and Toad Survey. It's Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we'll meet our new tourism secretary. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. This is the Ideas Network.